Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Doug Gottlieb stops by today. The Saints 4-time Pro Bowler Cameron Jordan stops by 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, and Joy Taylor joining me on a Monday, where apparently where you live it was sunny, and where I live it was breezy and cool all weekend. The valley was supposed to be scorching hot.
It was. It was as reported, yes. It's a different temperature in different parts of Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles, it's very weird to say when they show the news, you get three temperatures. You get the beach, you get the valley, then you get the desert. I didn't see the sun all weekend. Everybody's
it's
like,
so crazy.
It's nuts. Like it looked like Seattle the whole weekend, which, by the way, I prefer. I've told you.
Yeah.
I don't love heat. And so,
I like the heat. I got accustomed to it in Miami, so I like it.
It
got to a point this winter. I mean, we were complaining about it. We had so much rain.
It just poured.
Yes.
So we lived in two different cities this weekend, apparently, from the life experience. So one of the stories that happened, the free agency thing in the NBA is over, and now the players are holding press conferences, and Anthony Davis held a press conference for the Lakers. You know, and I was thinking about this. My daughter just got back. We sent her on a leadership council thing with college students for 5 weeks in Cape Town, South Africa. And she's been to Italy. Her mom's Italian, so she's been to Italy before, and she loves to travel. In our family, she's like the adventure, bungee jump, skydive, that kind of stuff, right? That's what she likes to do. And she went to Cape Town, and she's like, oh, this is way prettier than Italy. And it's not the first person I've met. I've met probably a half dozen people in my life who are like, you know, everybody goes to Italy and sees Italy, but you got to go to Cape Town. You cannot believe how beautiful Cape Town is. And so the last month I've been fiddling around with all this stuff and looking at all Cape Town pictures. And she brought a book home. And the difference is you've just seen a lot of Italy. It's been in movies. We talk about Italy, Italian food, Italian culture in America. We see it all the time. We talk about it all the time. It's the easiest place to get to if you live in the Eastern Seaboard. You know, it's a 6-7 hour flight, right? And so that reminds me of Anthony Davis. He's the best player in American sports you haven't seen. Nobody really knows. 95% of fans have never seen him. Oh, you see him in an All-Star game? Oh, please. Nobody plays defense. Pelicans ratings in New Orleans were atrocious, and nobody puts him on national TV. And you can say you watched that Portland series, but you probably didn't, because I looked at the ratings of that series this morning, and they weren't huge. The bottom line is this happens from time to time. We have a guy in baseball named Mike Trout. There was a wide receiver in Detroit named Calvin Johnson, who I contend is the first or second most talented wide receiver in the NFL, but he didn't go to playoff games a lot, and he didn't go to Super Bowls. And Anthony Davis is an unbelievable player. He's 26 years old. The scouts I talk to think this will be the first or second year of his prime. He is top 3 in blocks and top 8 in rebounding and the best free throw shooting big and the best defender of the pick and roll. He's got a very laid-back personality like Calvin Johnson and Mike Trout, and because of that, you just don't know much about him. By the way, you never watched Gronk play at the University of Arizona. If he'd have played at the University of Miami or Alabama or Texas or Oklahoma, you'd have known Gronk. But he played at a basketball school, the University of Arizona. And then he went to New England, and you're like, oh, Gronk's amazing. What if Arizona to Jacksonville was his route? No Super Bowls, no Thursday night football. You don't see him on national TV, no Monday night football, maybe not even Pro Bowls. What's the difference with Gronk? He's buried. You don't see him. And so I think Anthony Davis is a fascinating player. I can't wait to watch him play. He's got a very laid-back personality. He's the best big in the game. He does more good things than any big in the game. Most believe within a year he will be the best player on the Lakers playing with LeBron James. He talked a little bit about this weekend about sort of the empowerment of players, about moving from team to team, and here was his thoughts.
I just wanted to take control of my career. It was always, you know, people kind of telling me, no, we need to do this, we need to do that, you need to do this. And I just kind of, like, go with it. You know, I was, you know, young, and I was like, okay, you know, I feel like this person has the best interest for me, whatever. And then as I like started getting older, started getting more experience, I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to do it this way.
By the way, he averaged 25, 26 a game. Again, most believe he's just now going into his prime. Won't be able to be double teamed because of LeBron James and because the Lakers have enough good shooters. So this happens from time to time where we have a great player and this kid's going to be a 27-point-a-game player, top three in blocks, top five in rebounds, best free throw shooting big in the game, never have to take him out, unbelievable defender, maybe the best defensive player in the NBA, and most of you haven't watched him. You say you do. You've watched YouTube highlights. You're not watching Pelicans games. They're not watching them in New Orleans. You only got the playoffs one time. So it's going to be kind of I kind of feel like, oh, I got to watch Anthony Davis play now. By the way, Joel Embiid, like Italy over Cape Town, Joel Embiid doesn't stop talking. He plays for a good team, the Sixers. You get that early TV game with the Sixers last year because LeBron's now in the West. I've seen a ton of Joel Embiid. I've seen him play 100 times. How many Anthony Davis games have I watched in all these years? And he's the best young player at his position in the NBA. He's mostly what no big, massive, scary injury history. He's had nagging injuries, free throws, blocks, defense, pick and roll. Does it all. Can't wait to watch him play. So Charles Barkley was talking this weekend. And last week, it's just kind of a crazy, crazy story. Russell Westbrook gets traded, obviously, to the Houston Rockets. I don't think it's going to work, at least long term. You can make any relationship work initially. There's the new, fresh car smell of any relationship, and it works. But Charles Barkley was talking about the biggest issue with Westbrook playing with James Harden.
About 2 or 3 years ago, I suggested the Russell Westbrook switched to the two position. I think that's the only way this team can work. But Russell's got to buy into being the two guard and not try to be the point guard because the ball's going to be in James' hands a lot. So if Russ would dedicate himself to be the shooting guard, I think this team got a chance of working. But it all depends on if Russ's going to buy in and be a two guard.
This is exactly right. Charles is right. James Harden is going to control the ball because James Harden is the better player. James Harden averages 35 a game. James Harden, this is his city and his team and his franchise and his offense. He's not changing, nor should he. Kobe in his prime, when Shaq left, that was Kobe's team. It was up to Pau Gasol to figure out, and Pau was an all-star, how you going to play with Kobe? James Harden analytically is the best player in the NBA offensively. Annoying to watch, drives you nuts. He's not changing. This is his franchise, his offense, his team, and his city. And he ran Chris Paul out of town. So that's the first thing. Second thing is Westbrook's game is his game. He's not a pure shooter. But one of the things I hear talked about a lot, and I can only speak for men. I will not speak for women. I will just speak for how guys' brains work. If you're the best in the world at something and you have a rigid personality, you will not get flexible. This is not a basketball question. It's a personality question. Let me ask everybody watching. Anybody in your life rigid? Brother, dad, sister, friend, boss? If I gave them $150 million, would they become less rigid? No, they wouldn't, would they? Again, I'm speaking for guys. Can't speak for women. The whole they get along their best friends, it doesn't matter with guys. Because guys' careers, generally speaking, are really important to their ego and their vanity. And when we get into the sweet spot in our careers and you're paying us a lot of money, we're not making a lot of sacrifices even for our best friend. And I don't know if these guys are best friends, but the word is they want to play with each other. Never forget this. Paul George and Westbrook were friends. George bailed on him. Carmelo and Chris Paul were friends. Chris Paul didn't like him. Harden and Chris Paul weren't best friends, but all the stories I went back yesterday and read them said they got along. They couldn't stand each other. So what the whole friends argument to me is fun. I just read a story this morning about how Houston wants to make it work from the Houston Chronicle. Coach Mike D'Antoni is going to stagger his stars. So Harden and Westbrook will likely share the court for less than half the game. Okay. So your game plan going in is we hope they don't play together that much. It also says later in this story, this is all going to require Harden to be agreeable to being off the ball more often. He is not going to allow his game, 36 a game, to change dramatically. His team, his offense, his city, his ego, his check. He's not... Listen, friends can accommodate other friends, but the way guys work when they're in the prime of their professional career, I'll give you solid, but don't get in the way of my game, and I'm not sacrificing for you. Find me an all-star in his prime, one in NBA history, that came into a team as the second best player and forced the one to change his game. Now you'll say, well, Steph and KD. Steph didn't change his game. Steph just shot less. Steph didn't play a different position. Steph said, I'll take 2.5 shots less a game, give Kevin Durant 2 of my shots a game. Didn't change his game. We're asking Westbrook, go play another position. What? Now, LeBron in his 17th year, stacks of money, stacks of ring, legacy solved. None of those, you know, Westbrook doesn't have the legacy and the rings. LeBron will probably acquiesce a little and do some point guard stuff this year. But LeBron's always been an incredible ball handler outside of Magic Johnson, probably the best ball handler for his size I've ever seen. You're asking Westbrook to do something he does poorly. LeBron doesn't do anything poorly. Maybe not a very good defender now. You're asking Westbrook, hey, stack some money. Off guard. I just don't see it working. I do think when you acquire D'Angelo Russell, Russell Westbrook, I like to have talented players because I think Westbrook will score a bunch of points and you'll eventually be able to move him. And I do like the fact they do like each other. I think you're more willing to put your head down and ignore strife if it is a buddy. But this is not a basketball question. It is a personality question. Find rigid people, give them $150 million. They don't get less rigid, even if they're playing with their friends.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
David Njoku is a tight end for the Cleveland Browns. He's unbelievable. He's probably the best young tight end in football. He's a great player. But he was talking about Odell Beckham this weekend. And David's going to have a great year and a great career. He's like the kid at Kansas City, Travis Kelce. He's just better. He's just better than all the young guys out there. And he talked about Odell Beckham, and he said, that guy's is phenomenal fit with Cleveland. It's phenomenal. It's like the fourth guy on that team that has been quoted saying, Odell Beckham's going to be a phenomenal fit. It's July. Everybody fits in July. The Cleveland organization and the Cleveland players have become a teenage girl on Instagram. They keep projecting how great it's going to be. The truth is, Cleveland's the easiest team in the league to figure out this year. There's two facts about Cleveland. They're the youngest roster in the NFL. They are. Super talented, they are, and a new head coach. They're going to be like Jacksonville. They're going to be young and dynamic and intimidate people and blow some people out. And then, like a young team, they're going to talk a lot and they're going to play through injuries and they don't have an elite coach. And they have a young quarterback who's prone to mistakes, but also very talented. And here's what's going to happen to them. They're going to struggle early because their schedule with a new system is brutal. My guess is they could lose the home opener with Tennessee at Jets, Rams, at Ravens, at Niners, Seahawks, at Patriots, at Denver. They're going to struggle a little bit in the first 2 months. Let's say 4-4. Then they're going to get red hot. And they may win 7 straight games. It's a bunch of Buffaloes, Miamis, Cincinnatis, Arizonas, Cincinnati again. They'll split with Pittsburgh. They're going to get smoking hot. And then the playoffs come. And young teams do not win the AFC. They don't. Peyton Manning did. Tom Brady did. They don't win the AFC. And they're going to crash hard. And what's interesting about the whole Odell Beckham situation is very predictable. Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield are on different watches. Baker Mayfield's got 15 years to play. Odell Beckham's 5 years in. He wants to be a global star. He's already been hurt, and receivers have the second shortest NFL careers, and he's small. He's small and at times a little spindly. Okay, he wants to win, get numbers, and be a superstar for the next 3 years. He didn't buy a house in Cleveland. He is there to win and get big numbers. He wants to be a global superstar. And unlike all the other young Browns players who play tight end and will last 12 years. Quarterback, last 15. Pass rusher, last 11. Dude's got about 4 years left to hit it. And when this team is 3-5 or 4-4 and he's not getting the looks and he's getting doubled, is he the calming, soothing voice that a young locker room needs? Because on his good days, he's dramatic. So I think Cleveland, there's a lot of projecting here. Oh, Dell's great. He's phenomenal. Going to be amazing. Going to be. Everybody's good in July. I think Cleveland's incredibly predictable. A lot of energy, a lot of talent, youngest roster, implementing a new offense, struggle a little early, some losses you think are wins, like the opener hosting Tennessee, then smoking hot, starting somewhere in early November, November 3 to November 10, you're going to reel off about 7 wins in 8 weeks, and you're going to be the talk of the league, and Odell's going to be making catches, and then you're going to crash hard in the playoffs, if you get there. Wild card team, if you get there. Go on the road, like in New England, at Kansas City, at Indianapolis, and crash hard. But it's going to be funny because this whole Odell Beckham thing, his watch isn't set to the same time as everybody else's watch. All these young players on this team, they have 10-year careers coming up. Njoku, Baker Mayfield, Myles Garrett, these guys are going to play for 10 years. OBJ, been hurt, 5 in, no time to waste. You got about 4 to make this puppy work.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There are a lot of shows have opinions, and we do too. And I think we need to be, need to be held accountable when I whiff on stuff. And so we call it Colin Right, Colin Wrong. Here we go on a Monday.
Where Colin was right.
I've been saying for 20 years, if you've listened to this show, that the NBA is not necessarily controlled by players. It's controlled by shoe companies and agents. And LeBron and Anthony Davis were going to swap numbers. And then LeBron was told, you can't do that. By who? Nike. So the commissioner, Adam Silver, walks on eggshells around LeBron. Nike doesn't. They said, LeBron, you're not swapping that number. We lose tens of millions of dollars. You're not doing that, even after they'd announce it. Been saying this. Everybody says basketball players play in the Olympics because of patriotism. That's certainly part of it. You know who else tells them to play in the Olympics? Shoe companies. You know who tells them to go visit China in the offseason? Shoe companies. I'm paying $30 million a year to wear my shoes, minimum. You're going to play here, you're going to go there, and you're not swapping numbers. Shoe companies and agents have massive control. It's not a bad thing, by the way. It's just, listen, it's the culture of basketball. I'm not complaining, but here it was on display again this weekend. The number swap got turned down by Nike.
Where Colin was wrong.
I don't know Rob Pelinka, but I've banged on him a lot. I got to be honest. It's very easy for me to sit up here and bring out the anvil on the Lakers in the last year because they've been dysfunctional. But I will say this. You can't blame Rob Pelinka because they didn't land Kawhi Leonard. They actually did a pretty good job. They got a bunch of guys who can shoot. My complaint for the last year is if you have LeBron James, surround him with shooters. He's really good with shooters. Danny Green they got. Quinn Cook they got. Avery Bradley they got. They threw in Boogie Cousins. Don't love the Rondo signing. Just going to say that right out front. But all told, the Lakers are interesting. They're talented. And they did the bench. It's pretty good. It's not a terrible bench. It's a little older. But Kuzma's young. Quinn Cook is young. Avery Bradley still got some, you know, some legs left. All told, Vegas agrees. Lakers roster. I don't think it's as... chemistry-wise, the fit the Clippers is. But Rob Pelinka deserves some credit here. He found cap space. We didn't think he would do that. He found shooters. And tip of the cap.
Where Colin was right.
Well, Westbrook's reign's over in Oklahoma City. I didn't think he'd end his career there. I've always felt, more than most people, a lot of empty numbers and stats and a very rigid playing style. But in the end, more than anything, I think what last week signified is once again Paul George, another star player, says publicly they love him, but he was conspiring to leave. Maybe that's Oklahoma City and Los Angeles, but it sounded like all the stories I read, it was Paul George tired of playing with him and wanting to play with Kawhi Leonard, who, by the way, Kawhi Leonard's great. Westbrook is kind of a little bit like Carmelo Anthony. Good numbers, Hall of Famer, first ballot. Don't think he's a bad guy at all, by the way. I know people that know Melo. They like him. I know people that know Westbrook. They like him. But there is a rigid style. I think he's difficult to play with. And the evidence proves that a lot of his numbers are kind of empty. Triple-double sounds great, but it can at times be a very empty stat.
where Colin was wrong.
Listen, like the rest of you, I thought Kawhi Leonard was a little off, a little odd, too quiet. It ends up he's calculated and cunning and manipulated the NBA. I saw a story this weekend. I think Ramona Shelburne, give her credit, that basically he was waiting to announce the Clipper move, forcing the Lakers to sit around for 36, 48 hours so they couldn't fill out their roster because he didn't want to play in the same arena with a better roster. He's a very sharp guy. Is he quirky? Is he quiet? You know, I shouldn't even use the word quirky. Is Mike Trout quirky or just quiet? Is Brooks Koepka, Christian Pulisic? You know what? Most people aren't super, super verbal and outspoken. So it figures that many of our star athletes, Tim Duncan didn't talk a lot, aren't outspoken. All told, he was the puppet master, a very calculated, cunning puppet master for the NBA duo trend. I think it's, I'm not sure if it'll, I don't know if people want to watch Denver in the Western Conference Finals or Utah, I do. But all told, I think I underestimated the calculated nature of Kawhi's personality.
Where Colin was right?
A dynasties equal ratings. They just do. Ratings equal interest. Wimbledon's final yesterday for the men was up 190%. Why? Because it gave us a dynasty. The Federer dynasty. By the way, Serena gets massive numbers. She's a personal dynasty. Federer's a dynasty. Djokovic is a dynasty. Nadal's a dynasty. Last year, Wimbledon final, the number wasn't nearly as big because you didn't have two dynasties. You keep telling me you like parity because parity feels everybody's got a chance. But remember, dynasties we connect to. We love them or we hate them. We fear them or we jump on the bandwagon. So we've got this natural, visceral connection to these superstars. By the way, Federer's been around, I don't even know. I think he won his first major in 2003. It was a remarkable match. I thought Federer had it. I hate using choke. I thought he kind of gagged a little. But in the end, the Wimbledon final, this is what sports is at its best. Legends, icons, you root for one. Everybody in the stadium appeared to be rooting for Federer. But you were pulling for and against somebody, and they'll always be the ratings champs.
Where Colin was wrong.
Man, I apologized for Chris Paul for a long time. I blamed all the rest of the Clippers when he demanded, trades out of L.A., and I blamed everybody but Chris Paul, but in the end, nobody in the world, myself included, is a victim of their own reputation. What people say is generally what the consensus says is true, and the consensus is now saying Chris is difficult. And listen, Chris had to understand when he went into Houston. It's James Harden's city. It's his offense. It's his team. It's his coach. You were a visitor. My first year when I worked at Fox, I was a visitor. I may have been an employee, but I was surrounded by people who'd been there 15, 18, 20 years. You act accordingly. Chris walked in and kind of wanted an even... He wanted the scales of basketball justice to be even, and this is Harden's franchise, and you've got to acquiesce. And frankly, right now, Harden's a much better basketball player. Chris could have made this work. This is not on Harden. Chris could have made this work. When you're the second best player of two, it's your job to make it work. He didn't, and I have been giving Chris Paul a pass for years.
Where Colin was right?
Steph Curry came out last week to once again compliment Kevin Durant. By the way, Kevin Durant hasn't said anything nice about Steph Curry. Curry has gone out several times to say nice things about Durant. This goes to my belief on Steph Curry that he is the most, and it's hard to even embrace this because it sounds crazy, he's the most underappreciated superstar of my life. Everybody loved Michael. Everybody understood Bird. Everybody liked Magic. Everybody gets LeBron. Everybody gets all these stars. Steph Curry is nearly on equal footing, and nobody wants to give him credit. Players don't love him. Does everybody understand this Warrior dynasty? They won without Kevin Durant. They recruited Durant because of Curry and were 38-5 when Kevin Durant didn't play and Curry did. That's nothing against Kevin Durant. I think he's a very talented, at times flaky player. But Steph Curry, watching him act as Kevin Durant leaves, embodies everything I've always believed about Steph Curry. He is the soul of the last great basketball dynasty. I don't know if we'll ever have a team that dominant. We may not, but he was the soul of it.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I do say wide receivers are icing, quarterbacks and offensive lines are the cake, But DeAndre Hopkins, receiver for the Texans, is the only offensive player the Madden game gave a 99 rating to. And they're generally pretty accurate. They gave Khalil Mack one, Aaron Donald one, Bobby Wagner one, and DeAndre Hopkins one. No Zeke, no Aaron Rodgers, no Russell Wilson, no Patrick Mahomes. I got to give Madden credit. He's the only guy that got a 99, and they don't hand those puppies out much. And generally, who they rate the good guys. He is a phenomenal talent. He is a phenomenal talent. He's not as flashy as OBJ. He hadn't been around doing it as long as Julio Jones. He's not as talked about as Antonio Brown. He is a filthy talent. 99 from the Madden game.
Where Colin was right.
Dak Prescott said last week, for somebody to say you can only take so much because of the salary cap, with gambling, everything going into the league, everybody's going to keep going up. I'm not taking a pay cut. I've said this about Dak. Should he take 27? You can make that argument. Will he? Absolutely not. Dak Prescott kept the Dallas Cowboys the last 3 years on television. Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Early, Fox Game of the Week. He kept every single network they were on. They were the highest rated. They weren't when Tony Romo got hurt. Don't kid yourself. The Lakers moved off TV before LeBron got to town. Just because you're a big brand, they're not going to put you on. Before Jim Harbaugh was at Michigan, the Brady Hoke years, Michigan was not on TV as much. By the way, Alabama wasn't on TV nearly as much 10 years ago pre-Saban. Dak Prescott made the Cowboys viable on TV for a three-year stretch. He is not taking a dime less. And regardless of what I think, I don't love my quarterbacks making 33 large. I think part of the Patriots' strength, honestly, is Brady's the 15th highest paid quarterback that allows him to get two or three more players. But Brady didn't save the franchise. He took him to a cool place. Dak saved it. They didn't have a quarterback. You watched that year Romo got hurt pre-Dak. They were absolutely not television quality. So, and Dax not taking a pay cut made it very clear last week.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So this weekend, my daughter's in town and my college kid, and then she comes back and she's over hanging at the house and we go buy a coffee. Let's go have a talk. She wants to just talk and hang out. The weather in Manhattan Beach was nice and overcast. Perfect day to hang out. So I go to my coffee shop, and I'm not going to name the coffee shop because I don't want to rip a business, because that's not my thing. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I'm doing. And you can call me on it if you want. So I go to this coffee shop. It's the one I go to in my little town, right? And I order a small iced coffee. That's
so
it.
So just coffee and like cream and sugar.
And then I order just black coffee. Small black coffee.
Okay.
$7.56.
That's
and
pricey.
I've been doing coffee my whole life. I grew up in Seattle. You drink coffee. Right. Starbucks, right? And I just froze. I was like, that's almost $8. And the cups were like this big. And then we went outside, and my daughter's done with hers 45 seconds. You know, it tastes delicious. And I'm done with mine in 10 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, 8 times 7, 45. I'm spending $400 a year. My wife gets a large coffee at least once a day, my stepdaughter. And I'm like, I'm spending $450, $500 a month. I can make this stuff at home. And I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm never buying coffee at a coffee shop again. And then I started doing it in my head. I'm going to spend $30,000 if I live a normal life drinking coffee I can make at home. That's a new car. What am I doing with my life? You can hold me accountable. I'm never going to a coffee shop again. It's outrageous. $8 for two small coffees. They are robbing us.
Well,
and like, we don't care because it's a routine.
Right.
And so when you get into a routine, you just blindly put your card down. And it just hit me. Maybe the way she said it, the angle, the noise, the echo, and it was $8. And I'm just like, the hell am I doing with my life here? I can't, I'm done.
Okay, well, so this is the breaking news.
This is breaking news.
Massive breaking news.
I'm not done. I'll drink coffee. I'm making my own coffee.
That was an appropriate sounder. This is massive. Well, one, I think you sound a little bit like get off my lawn guy. So that could be part of it.
All right.
And we know what those people tend to be in the twilight years. So you may be careful.
All right.
Because I don't think that you're in that space yet. But I will say that it's very smart. It's very frugal of you to want to make your own coffee. But where does it end? Like, so are you going to not have coffee in restaurants?
That's different.
Because you're already there spending money?
Well, I'm spending money anyway, and it's $2, and I don't feel like they gouge you. I look at the check. They don't gouge you.
Yeah, they really don't overprice coffee in restaurants.
They don't.
Okay, but what if you're traveling?
I'm allowing myself at major international airports
to have coffee.
To have a small coffee. That's the only exception.
Okay. Now, what about cafes? Like, if you guys are having a nice walk, and you're like, oh, let's sit and have, a croissant and a coffee.
Nope. They hose you.
So you'll get just a water and a croissant. You just won't get the coffee.
I'll just say, honey, you go and get your little thing. I'm just going to keep walking.
Out of principle, you're not going to do it.
I'm not doing it. Those places.
Does the rest of your family have to stop buying coffee or just you?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That'll be a confrontation later this afternoon.
Because coffee drinkers are very territorial about
their coffee. Listen, I'll get a headache. If I don't drink coffee, I'll get a headache.
I drink coffee every morning, but I also don't pay for it.
Where do you go?
It's right here.
Oh,
they're very gracious.
Coffee.
They bring it for us. Yes.
All right.
How long do you think this lasts?
Rest of my life.
No, I definitely. There's no chance that happens. But I believe.
Okay.
You.
Hold me accountable, America. If you see me in a coffee shop, hold me accountable. I'm serious.
Okay, but Goulet asked the perfect question. What if your daughter wants coffee, so she can get the coffee, but you're just out of principle not going to buy the coffee? Because you're not going to tell your daughter she can't have coffee.
I'm going to sit her down and talk about finances and let her know. Going forward, this is an egregious financial decision that could create an inability to commerce.
When you break it down, the amount of money that you would save is going to be staggering.
It's incredible.
It's very expensive for two regular coffees.
What might be more alarming is you just learned that they overcharge you for coffee.
This is also true.
Yeah, I was kind of blinded by it for like my life. It's a little late for me to get so freaked out because I've been doing it for 25 years, but it just hit me wrong.
I'm not a huge coffee snob. Like, I get the same coffee every day.
Right, so am I.
But if it wasn't from the company that we get it from, I would just get a regular coffee with cream and sugar. It doesn't bother me. It's just, it's more for the caffeine than the taste. Right.
And I wasted everybody's life on that, but
No, I think actually a lot of people would have an opinion about that because it's coffee.
It's unbelievable what it costs now. And I think we've gotten into this thing where we just put our card down because it's part of our life. We all need to step
back. Yeah, we have become coffee zombies.
Complete. We're not even being smart about this.
You break loose, Colin. Fight back against the man.
I am.
Make your own coffee.
I'm going to hashtag this thing pretty soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's one of the great players in the NFL, entering his ninth season with the Saints, a four-time Pro Bowler. I don't think he's ever missed a start, not for a long time. He's played in 128 NFL games. His name is Cameron Jordan, and he is joining us for the first time in The Herd, All-Pro Saints defensive end, big-time personality, outspoken. What is going on? It's a pleasure to have you on. We've never had you on the show before.
Right? Just slide in. As many times I'm in L.A.
And you're in L.A. all the time?
I feel like I am.
You're a big personality. You're big.
I'm a big person.
You jump through the TV screen.
Okay.
You've got a rivalry with Cam Newton, which I think is great.
I have a rival with anybody in my division. But, yes, any quarterback is definitely my fixation.
By the way, serious question, although it won't sound serious. Does every quarterback feel different to sack? Are there different sounds? Are there different feels? Are there different strategies?
I mean, yeah, of course. There's always going to be different strategies. When you're facing somebody like, we have in our division, you face Matt Ryan. You know, as soon as you get a hold of him, you know he's going down. it's not like he can just sort of shrug you off. I mean... That can't happen. You get a hold of Cam Newton, he can shrug you off, he can outrun you, he can then, as he's falling, sling a 60-yard accurate ball. I mean, he's probably the greatest sack you're going to try and get after just because he's strong as Ben Roethlisberger. He's got, accuracy like any other top-tier quarterback. And then, of course, he can outrun you more than, Russell Wilson can.
Do you talk to him when you've sacked
him? Oh, I talk a lot. All quarterbacks don't talk back, man. Like, they don't care about us.
I don't think it's that. I think that's not why they don't talk back, because you can hit a quarterback, and if a guy could hit me, I would make sure I'd be like, Cameron, that was a great sack. You're a fine player.
Oh, you got Andrew Luckett?
Totally.
That'd be so – it's just overly aggravating. In fact, that's not helping your case, because now I just want to hit you more. You tell me good job, I'm just like – All right, it wasn't good enough. I'll give you this next one.
When you're a great pass rusher, you're in a very interesting spot. By and large, I want my players to play defensively in a system, but you're unique. You're one of four or five guys in the league that I kind of want you to go get the quarterback. How much are you in a Saints system, and how much do they allow you to be Cam Jordan and kind of do your thing on the edge?
Cameras on for this? All right, perfect. when you talk about the mentality of our defense, about how we want to get after the quarterback, we've had pieces. You know, now I've got Marcus Davenport. I had Sheldon Rankins, who just got injured last year, so he'll come back sometime this year. You've got David Onyemata. When you're attacking a quarterback, it's because of these other pieces that you can go ahead and go after the quarterback relentlessly. So at this point, I've gone through four different D coordinators on the Saints team. So I feel like it can't be just scheme, right?
When you come into the league, everybody wants a pass rusher. You mm-hmm. have become the most valuable defensive piece. I talk to college coaches. They're mm-hmm. like, just give me an edge rusher.
Right.
So it's funny. You walked into this league and you were a guy. Mm-hmm. There wasn't no question. By the end of your first year, start of your second year, it's like, okay, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. There may be edge rushers that are a bit faster, a little bigger. What separates you? Why are you and Khalil Mack? Like, what is it? It can't just be 40 time and combine stuff. There's got to be something innate, Cam, in you that you have a sense, your intuition. What is it that separates you?
I mean, I feel like I'm more physical than most edge rushers simply because when I got drafted to play the four technique. I didn't get drafted to play the edge. I didn't get drafted to play a nine to hold the edge and keep everything focused inside. I primarily came in my rookie year, and I was a four technique. I was lined up inside of a tackle. I was lined up on a guard. So I came in for all hands. I was there for all aggression. I was there for all run-stopping abilities. Hands everything. So hand placement, the mentality of attacking a person in terms of instead of just holding the edge and keeping my outside nine or, you know, whatever it is. So my mentality, I feel like, is different because I tell guys all the time, I'm here for the hands. I'm here to reset the line of scrimmage. I'm here to try and dominate my opponent. Whereas, you know, guys like Khalil and Yervans are elite steps, two-point stance, and they set an edge, and that's what they're great at.
When you we talked about you've been well compensated and deservedly so. So Dak Prescott goes in the fourth round, doesn't mm-hmm. make anything for 3 years, sells a ton of jerseys, keeps the Cowboys on TV. And there is a sentiment among some, like, listen, you're the Cowboy quarterback, no state tax, little hometown discount. We can't pay the quarterback 32 large. Where do you fall on that? Like, I tend to be take the money. I can't believe so many NBA players take less mm-hmm. to go play because they like the weather in California. I'm like, you seen the taxes here? You think Canada's bad? How much is salary to you? Do you worry that a quarterback salary? Do you think about that? Are you just like, dude, I'm good, pay me?
I'm probably falling. I mean, if you watch my contracts go, I'm probably with the I'm good, pay me situation. I like where I'm at. I like the scheme that I am. I love the foundation we have in the facility. It's important to me to not only stay with one team, but stay at base home. I mean, New Orleans has been home for me. So to talk on another person's money or another person's aspect, I can't do it. I would simply say if he loves Dallas, if he loves where he's at, if he loves his opportunity, then you make it work. And at the same time, he's also a quarterback. So he is the face of that franchise. He is, you know, if he says he's unhappy, it's the franchise's situation to make it right. So, I mean, yeah, that's a whole different position. You talk about edge rusher to quarterback.
Well, no, I would say edge rusher, don't sell yourself short.
No doubt. But our highest paid edge rusher is making, what, 24? The highest paid quarterback's making 35?
That's a lot of lettuce. 30, yeah. 24 is a lot of lettuce.
No doubt. No doubt.
By the way, when you practice with Drew Brees every day, if I'd never seen Drew Brees play, mm-hmm. and I said, Cameron, there's this great quarterback, Drew Brees, games run on TV. What makes him great?
Your first practice you ever went, you'd see how great he is. And it's not in the throws he's making. It's in his preparation. It's in the walkthroughs. I mean, if you watch him walkthroughs, he's making all the reads. He's making all the throws. And it's all mental. And that's without even throwing the ball. So you just see this guy warming up. And Drew's back here doing one of these. And he's here. And he's talking to his receivers. And he's got open dialogue with all the receivers, with all the running backs. He's talking to the center, especially since we have a new center. He's talking to the offensive lineman. He's talking to everybody, saying exactly where his offense is
communicator.
Exactly. So that open dialogue already separates you from most quarterbacks.
Is he a barker? Does he get after guys occasionally?
He's a competitor.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
When you're an ultimate competitor, you want things to go exactly how you are. But again, you have guys like Alvin Kamara who has his feel. And you guys, we have a top receiver, probably the best receiver in the game right now, Michael Thomas, who is going to have that open banter, and that's what you hope for. Constructive criticism.
You've had two wild finishes. You won one, you lost one last couple of years. You know, right? Like you have the let's say the Minnesota one was. No, Stephon Diggs was that. That's right. So you lost both. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Top of mind.
Minnesota Miracle.
Yeah,
and then you
Minnesota
lose
Miracle.
To the referees
and yeah,
such.
Okay. So you it'd be, and I said this, I said, I don't know if New Orleans can rebound from back-to-back, gut-wrenching, gut-kicking losses. And Drew Brees, after the game, said something I thought was really important. He goes, I don't want to hear about the officials. And his takeaway was, we better get over this fast. Are you concerned, Cam, or how concerned are you about when you lose the way you lose, there's a stench to it, there's a stick to it, and it goes into camp?
I mean, absolutely, there is definitely a stick to it when you talk about losing the way you did. But as long as you take it in the positive mindset that everything has to come from you. I mean, last year we lost to Minnesota. It was like, if we never let them get that close to us, then we'd be so much further ahead. I mean, we hate to put it on somebody. Like we say, you could put it on the referees. Like, if you weren't, you're supposed to be the top of your position. If you make the right call, we'd be so much further. But if, honestly, we were up by two touchdowns. So if we kept that lead, then we'd never been in the position that we were in. So you got to take it on us. You got to put it on the team. You got to put it on the defense. And our defense is young enough where it's like, hey, we want to go beyond expectations. So last season was last season. How do we get better from here? We've got DeMario Davis, who's entering his second year with the team, who was a force for us last year. Sheldon Rankins had one of the, his best season to date last year. David Onyemata was balling last year. Marcus Davenport is heading to his second season, and that first year to second year league.
Huge.
You look at that, our secondary, the whole Ohio State secondary that
right.
we have, plus, our Utah. I mean, these are all guys going from their second year to the third year. How much better can they get? You added in Eli Apple. You got Patrick Robertson, who should be healthy this year. I mean, coming in as a nickel corner, there's so much promise to our defense. It's now living up to expectation, exceeding our own.
Your dad was a Pro Bowl tight end for the Vikings.
Living if legend.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, my bad.
No, I mean, he great player. If there's one thing dad taught son about the NFL, what was it?
He taught me a lot heading into my rookie year. It was try and absorb everything from the greats that you're around. So at the time I was around, Roman Harper, Malcolm Jenkins, Jonathan Vilma, Will Smith. And it was like, what separated them from everybody else? Was it their mental prep for JV? It was like all the mental film work that he did. It was, for Roman Harper, he used to have, Guns Friday. He used to work on his arms religiously. So it's just like taking little things away. For Will, it was about just, the constant ability to have that grind, that gritty mentality. Like, if anything, I'm gonna go get it. And it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about how much can I get better the next day. So it was all just taking a little bit of something from each and every grade I could find.
When the season ends, how much time do you give your body? Just go have a bad meal and a big piece of cake.
I live great in the off season for that first like month and a half. I'm like living, traveling, eating, drinking whatever I want at all times of the day. Like, it's gelatinous. I get hefty quick, and then I'm just like, all right, time to be an athlete again.
That's it. They say for marathoners, they say if you want to stay healthy, you run. Don't run for a month and a half and go eat.
Right.
Like, just reward your body. Don't go run another marathon. They tell you for a month, go eat.
I'm a firm believer in that one. Go travel, eat, enjoy. I went around the world from LA to LA.
Favorite country you've ever been to in the world?
Hong Kong was awesome. As much as I love the UAE, as much as I love France.
You ever been to Croatia?
No.
Heard it's amazing. Prague?
No. That's Finland.
Finland's amazing.
Finland is surprisingly awesome.
My daughter just went to Cape Town.
Okay.
Said it's the most beautiful city she's ever been to.
See, I think I was headed to Cape Town a couple years ago, and then they had like a newspaper article like 3 weeks before I was supposed to go, had like a cheater run through a hotel, and I was like, so no longer Cape Town. That was just like, you know, this just like had we, you know, we went to the Bahamas a couple weeks ago. 3 days later, there was a shark attack. Had that happened 3 days before, I would have bumped Bahamas. Would have nicked the Bahamas. Would have been known as Sal.
You're well-read and prepared in your travels.
No doubt.
Anytime you're here, you want to come on the show, talk about anything, promote anything, come on the show. We'd love to have you. Just whenever you're in town, just you want to hang out.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Cam Jordan, it's great to meet you.
I appreciate you guys having me on. We didn't even get to say hi.
That's
hi.
Joy Taylor. Yeah, you know, her brother is.
I know. The elite pass rusher, legend.
Who had perfect skin. Neutrogena model.
Is that true?
Best skin in league history. True, and you're a handsome man. Yeah. The best skin in league history. Right. Not that that means anything. That was an odd segue. Jaguars running through hotels and Neutrogena commercials.
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs, my
is
bad.
It Jaguars
it's the herd.